Well, I guess if you can't preach after that, you need to just retire and quit. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, praise team. Wow. Oh, boy. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah this morning?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Come on, you're in a Baptist church. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God inhabits the praise of his people. Hello? How many of you had a problem holding your arms up during the whole song? They got heavy, didn't they? You remember when the children of Israel were in battle and Moses was kind of weak and his arms began to fall down and he needed some men to help him hold his arms up. And God sent him Aaron and Hur. And every time his arms was up, the children of Israel prevailed. You see, when your arms are up, guess who they're up towards? You see, you're praising God. God inhabits the praise of his people. Satan cannot stand praise. You know how I know? You remember Saul? Every time the evil spirit came around, you remember? He got David to play the harp. And what did the music do? It drove the evil spirit away because it was anointed and empowered of God. And the evil spirits have been driven out of this congregation this morning because the music's anointed and empowered of God. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen? Amen. Amen. We need to learn how to worship. Worship's not about me. Worship's about him. Worship has nothing to do with me whatsoever. It's about him. I want to take a point of personal privilege right now, and I want to recognize a couple in our church that will be married tomorrow 65 years. Mr. Ed and Miss Carolyn, would you stand up, please? 65 years. Now, that dear lady can pray the bark off an oak tree and make it apologize for having it. She can pray. I love to hear her pray. My, I love to hear her pray. She blesses my heart. I'm going to try to be calm today. I am. I don't want to get in your face with this message. Jamie Gillian, stand up a minute. Jamie and three other guys I meet with every 2 weeks on Thursday morning at 6:15 at Liz's Thicket in Lexington for a Bible study. I challenge those four men to read through the New Testament, to take a spiral notebook, and every time they saw the word Spirit, to write that verse down. Jamie, you're in church. You didn't know I was going to do this. You have to tell the truth. Have you done that, Jamie? Thursday morning in Bible study. Thank you, Jamie. Give the Lord a hand for that. That's been in about the last 2 months now. He's read through the entire New Testament, y'all. Shame on us. Hello. And he runs his own business. And Thursday morning, in Bible study, he showed me his notebook where he had written down every verse of Scripture, copied it down, not just the word Spirit, not just the reference, not just the chapter, not just the book, but the entire verse of Scripture. Now, you think he's learned anything in the last 2 weeks? You see, if you get in the Word of God, God will teach you something. Hello? If you wait till Sunday morning for the preacher, you might not hear something. Seriously. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Don't wait for the preacher to teach you. Get in the Word, and God will begin to speak to you. And I glory in his spunk for doing that. He took the challenge. I didn't question the other three. But he took the challenge. And in 2 months, he's read through the entire New Testament. And he's written down in his own handwriting every verse that contains the word Spirit in it in that spiral notebook. Ladies and gentlemen, so much of what we do is energized by the flesh if we're not careful. God has given us Holy Spirit to indwell us, to infill us, to empower us, to guide us, to direct us, to edify us, to encourage us, and to convict us. But so often we quench him. So often we grieve him, and that's what that video, the last part of that video was about, by allowing the sin in our life. And the reason that we can't be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Paul admonished in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, is because there's a lot of other stuff there that does not allow the Spirit, and we are disobedient to the Spirit because when he convicts us, we refuse to repent and to confess it. And 1 John 1:9 can't happen, and we be cleansed of all unrighteousness because we're living in a spirit of outright rebellion against the Spirit of God. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While you're turning there, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, not by might, not by power. In other words, not by the might of man, not by the power of man, not by the intuition of man, not by the learning of man, the intellect of man, not by the understanding of man, but by my Spirit. Jesus said in Luke's gospel that if you desire the Holy Spirit, God will give you the power of the Holy Spirit. Every person has the Holy Spirit the moment they trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. He is, yes, third person of the Trinity, but he is not any less than God, neither is he any less than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a rank order. Because he's third person of the Trinity does not mean that he is the third powerful person of the Trinity, or that Jesus is the second powerful person of the Trinity. They are one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is omniscient. He has all of the characteristics, all of the adjectives that describe God, describe Jesus, and describe the Holy Spirit. But we have relegated him to a less important person in our lives. So I'm going to read just a few verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Stand with me, please. Verse 7. Actually, let's drop back to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? I didn't hear you. Who? Who? Thank you. Johnny Muller is no more important to God than you are. The only difference between me and you this morning is I am called to be where I am, just as Leon is called to be where he is. That calling is on my life. But that doesn't mean that I have any more of the power of God available to me than you have available to you. Did you hear that? Let's skip over to verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized. How many? All baptized into one body. Whether we be what? Jews or Greeks. Whether we be what? Bond or free. We have all been made to drink into what?
One Spirit.
One Spirit. One Spirit. Okay? Verse 14. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism, division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Wow. You see, when the Holy Spirit is in control of the body, we're going to love. We're going to nurture, we're going to encourage, we're going to edify, we're going to strengthen, we're going to build up. That means there's no room for gossip. Hello. I know I just started meddling. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. You just did that. You just honored Mr. Ed and his lovely wife there, Miss Carolyn. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he moves into what we call chapter 13, the love chapter. Father, I pray, God, today that you'll remove this preacher from the eyes of these people. God, I pray that you'll magnify your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of Holy Spirit. You will come and fill this place, God, and that you will work in the lives of every person by the incarnational truth and bring transformation in their hearts and their lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I don't want to insult your intelligence, but I want to read something. What would individuals and communities become if they were filled with the same power that Jesus displayed in his ministry? That's what I want you to understand. The same power that was available to Jesus is available to you and I now. And we have the Word of God that is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be broken. It cannot be taken away from. It cannot be added to. God protects his Word. The nature and power of the Holy Spirit within and among his followers provided an early picture of these lives and communities. Jesus instructed his disciples that the Holy Spirit would be the guiding force in their lives and that it would bring about a literal continuation of his ministry in earth. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is that happening in Dutch Fort Baptist Church? What Jesus set in motion in the first chapters of Acts became a vibrant church cascading through the coming centuries and reaching the remotest regions and corners of the globe. In the pattern of the book of Acts, after we are saved, the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit becomes the transformational reality in our daily lives to Christ. Acts 29 attempts to promote a thoughtful study of the events in the book of Acts and in retrospect, an examination of our individual views of the Spirit-filled beliefs and practices of the early church. Everything they did was by the power of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, and they were again filled, and again filled, and again filled, and again filled, and again filled. Not with knowledge, but with power. Not with intellect, but with power. The book of Acts contains more than a historical record of the early followers of Jesus. It contains the last words and instructions of Jesus to the closest followers before his ascension into heaven. As his last words, Jesus made a clear emphasis on the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit upon which generations of disciples would depend on in the future. The central focus of this book is the nature and the power of the Holy Spirit within and among the believers and the followers of Christ. Think about that. Think about what that says to you and I this morning. Are we indwelled and empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit of God? In the end, the proof of Acts 29 is found in our living. Uh-oh. In a variety of ways, the truth continues to provide an unmistakable bond between each generation of Jesus' disciples. The message Jesus spoke directly to his disciples in the beginning of Luke's historical account continues to be boldly lived out by millions of believers today. Jesus' mandate to believe and to be saved and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is still relevant for us today. I couldn't have said it better. What I want to say to you this morning, I hope you will receive, and I hope that you will receive it from God the Father. I have never done a series of messages on the Holy Spirit. I preached about Holy Spirit. I preached about power of the Holy Spirit. I preached about the indwelling of Holy Spirit. But I have never done a series of messages before. This is the concluding message of the series. looking at spiritual gifts today. Every one of you have at least one. If you're blood washed and blood bought and born again, if you're a child of God and you know that you know that you know that you're God's child, if you have that peace in your heart and in your life, you have at least one spiritual gift. For a while, their churches were doing everything they could to help everybody discover their spiritual gift. I want you to hear my heart this morning. You want to discover your spiritual gift? Do what Jamie Gillian did. Get in the Word of God and let the Word of God begin to speak to you. No one individual should tell you or either try to confirm in you your spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is a manifestation of the power of God. It is a gift of God, just like the gift of salvation. Therefore, I do not place much stock in all of these different evaluations concerning spiritual gifts. I learned who I was and what I was in Christ through the Word of God. That is sufficient. Now, I do not take away from anybody that writes a book on how to discover your spiritual gift or how to use your spiritual gift. Don't walk out of here and say, Brother Johnny said, or Pastor Johnny said. Don't hear what I'm not saying. If you buy that book and you enjoy it and you get something out of it, to God be the glory. But listen to me. If you want to discover your spiritual gift, get in the Word of God. And begin to study the Word of God and begin to pray over the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to you and let the Holy Spirit of God confirm in you that this is the gift or gifts that God has given you. The definition of a spiritual gift: the God-ordained supernatural ability given by Christ at the moment of one's salvation for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ, the church. The spiritual gift is never given apart for the edification of the body of Christ. Now, the spiritual gift can be given to you personally in order that you might grow in the grace and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to hear me and hear me carefully what I'm about to say. I've never said this from this pulpit, okay? But I'm going to say it today. I believe in all of the spiritual gifts. I believe in speaking in tongues. Yes, I do. I know that's not said in Baptist churches. I understand that. And I know I'm stepping out on a limb to say that today. And I know that some may ostracize me for saying that. But listen to me very carefully. All of the gifts are valid today. And I have been in foreign countries where I have seen every one of the gifts function according to the biblical definition and according to the biblical pattern that the gift is to function. I want you to understand today that Satan is a liar. I want you to understand today that he will do everything he can to take spiritual truth away from you and to deny you what God wants to give you. And to deny you what God desires that you have in order that you might have a closer walk and a closer relationship with him, in order that you might be filled with the Spirit and the power of God. Therefore, your pastor believes in all of the spiritual gifts. I've said it. I want you to understand that. Why do you think that Satan tries to counterfeit spiritual gifts? If they were not valid, if they were not real, if they were not true, then why in the world would he try to counterfeit them? Satan does not counterfeit that's already a counterfeit or that is a lie. He counterfeits the truth in order to rob you and I. I'm sorry, I'm getting in your face. In order to rob you and I of the power and the presence and the peace of God and the purpose of God and the plan of God for our lives. Now, I know that just knocked some of you all the way back against a pew and you wedged right there right now. And you won't turn loose for a while, okay? But I love you with all my heart. And I want you to be free. I want you to be totally and completely free. And I want you to enjoy everything that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has for you. And I am sick and tired. I am sick and tired of opinions that are based on ignorance and stupidity and lack of understanding of the Word of God and the Scripture of God. And there are those today that deny certain spiritual gifts in Baptist circles and other circles as well and say that they are not valid and that they are not needed today and that they disappeared at the end of the first century. Well, I want to tell you, that's a lie that Satan would love for you to believe. Because when you begin to believe that, then you begin to cast doubt and question upon the Word of God. Listen to me carefully. Don't get upset with me. Remember, I don't have to be here. I don't. I love you with all my heart, but I don't have to be here. I'm telling you the truth because God told me to tell you the truth. Amen. Two distinctions are necessary here. First of all, the gift of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. There is a difference between the gift of the Spirit, which every blood-washed, every blood-bought, every born-again child of God has. You have the gift of the Spirit. But there are also the gifts of the Spirit. And you notice very carefully that three times in the 1 Corinthians text, it says that God hath set in the church. God set in the church. God set in the church. How did he do that? Just like he did your salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. God determined that was the way, and God elected and God predestined that that was the only way for you to be saved. I've said it. I believe in election. I believe in predestination, just not like some of the others do. I want you to know I believe in whosoever will. And I believe that what God said to Cain, if it not be true, then it's a lie. And God is a liar. Hello? Are you listening? God said to Cain, Cain, if you'll do what's right, you will be accepted. Now listen to me. And hear what I'm about to say here today. Take the Bible and let the Bible speak and stop putting your own personal opinion, your own tradition, or your own thought to the Word of God. Let God speak to your heart, just like Jamie Gillian has been doing. Take the Word of God and go to it with an open heart and with an open mind and say, God, speak to me. Reveal to me my gift. Help me to know my gift. The moment of one's conversion and salvation as the gifts are given for the ministry of the newborn church. They still occur today. Every believer possesses at least one. I've already said that. No one believer possesses all of the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 29 through 30. The purpose of all spiritual gifts are to glorify the Father, to edify, I say it again, and build up the believer and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that elevate themselves because they have such gifts. They call attention to themselves because they have such gifts. I want you to understand today that whatever glory man receives, the Lord Jesus Christ will never receive. I want you to hear that this morning. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the apostle, we find this in the scripture, the gift of prophecy, and I can give you all the references in Romans and in Ephesians, the gift of the miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and the gift of knowledge. I want you to look up here and hear what I'm about to say. There are those today that teach that those gifts went out at the end of the first century. Understand that Paul does write and say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that though I have all of these wonderful gifts and I have all of these wonderful things and have not love, it's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I understand that he's talking about how these gifts are to be ministered. You see, so that attention is drawn to me and not drawn to you, but it's drawn to God the Father. Now listen to me just a minute. If God gave a gift that was to draw praise and honor and glory to him, why would he take it away at the end of the first century? Hello. Put that in your spiritual closet and chew on it a while. And let Spirit speak to you about the spiritual gifts. Why would God remove? I know over there in 1 Corinthians 13, there are those that preach that when that which is perfect is come, and they say, well, this is perfect and complete, and Jesus is perfect and complete, so we don't have any more need for all those gifts. I've heard that all my life. And look up here, I even preached it one time. Until God sat me down and said to me, are you going to take away from me what I created to bring glory unto myself through? And church, I had to wrestle. And wrestle and wrestle with traditional thought and traditional thinking. And traditional teaching. And people who are much more educated than your pastor, and you know that by now, whom I had read volumes and volumes of books and studied behind. But I am at the point in my life that I am ready to lay aside all books and believe, thus saith the word of the Lord. And let God's word speak. That's what happened in the first century. I told somebody just this week, this has been a jammed week for you, Pastor. I've had a funeral and had a wedding. had a funeral at 3 o'clock, wedding rehearsal at 6 o'clock. The funeral lasted an hour and a half. Rome and I run home, got out of our monkey suits and put on just normal clothing, you know, and went back to the wedding rehearsal. And Miss Roma was in charge of the wedding rehearsal, and she was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And I was right there with her because it was family. It was her nephews. This has been a week, a wonderful week, though. But I couldn't wait to get in the pulpit to share with you this truth today. And I pray that you will at least open your heart and open your mind. I don't know what time it is. Let me get a watch over here. My goodness, time's gone. There are those that would refer to these seven gifts as the temporary sign gifts and that they're no longer needed by the church. This statement begs the question, have we fulfilled the church age yet? I don't think so. We're still living in the church age. We're still living in what I call the dispensation of grace. I am a dispensationalist. Therefore, I believe that the manifestation of every gift is still needed in the church today. Look up here. I believe in divine healing. How many of you believe in divine? Don't raise your hands. How many of you believe in divine healing? You're looking at it. You know that. But I'm not the healer. And you can pray over people the same way I can. You have the same Holy Spirit that I have. You have the same power available to you. And if God has given you that gift, you need to exercise that gift. Hello? You need to use it. If you don't, it'll become dormant in your life and he'll take it away and give it to somebody else. I don't want to die and get to heaven and this is just an illustration, okay? And there'd be a bunch of shoeboxes on a shelf up there, and God called me over and he said, Johnny, I want you to open every one of those boxes. And I look in those boxes and I look in there and there are the promises of his word to me that I refuse to receive and believe. I believe that's going to happen to many believers today. Because we are soaked, we are satisfied, and we are saved and secure, and we know it. And we've got fire insurance, and we're ready to go to heaven. I want you to know I'm tired of opinions. I'm tired of seeing God's people ripped and jerked around by the enemy. I'm tired of seeing God's people live defeated and destroyed lives. I'm tired of seeing God's people. Listen to me. I could have fell into a pity party if I'd have wanted to. I could have fell into the depths if I'd have wanted to. I had every reason to. I got a sermon I want to tell you. I'll take just a minute. Y'all going to stay with me for a little bit today? Okay. I'm preaching the truth. You know I'm preaching the truth. I'm going to tell you a story. You remember I had to go back to the hospital after my last surgery? You remember I had that excruciating pain? Roma had run to the trash dump and the Dollar General to get some Epsom salts to try to calm my arm down. Now listen carefully. Listen to me. You know why all of that raging pain went to my left hand, started in my left hand? Now you that haven't been here, you have no way of knowing. But you remember what happened February gone a year ago when I had all four of those knuckles replaced? I've got foreign objects in my body. Hello? My body was trying to reject the graft that Dr. Norton put in my body. And all of that raging pain, guess where it went to? The weakest part in my body and the weakest place in my body and to the other place where there was something in my body that wasn't supposed to be there. Now listen to me. I got a sermon coming up on that. Just get ready. When you got something in your life that's not supposed to be there, there's no way in the world you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you're going to be in a battle. You're going to be in a conflict. I screamed to God, and I said, God, don't let me die. think I told you all that in the email I sent out. Roma wasn't nowhere around. And honestly, it seemed like she was gone an hour, and she wasn't gone but 10 minutes. The trash dump's right around the corner of my house. And the Dollar General's a mile from the house. It hit me, and it hit me like that. And I mean, it came up my arm, you all, and it came all the way across my chest. And when she got home, I said, call now. And on-call doctor said, I can't diagnose him over the telephone, get him to the emergency room. But that's what they found out. Now listen to me this morning. When you got foreign truth in your heart today about the Holy Spirit. Hello? Are you listening? And I'm not being ugly, and I'm not being rude, and I'm not being disrespectful. I want you to understand something. I'm trying to tell you, let God's word speak to your heart. It's not easy for me to have to stand up here and to tell you all. So the Holy Spirit, the very power, the very presence of God in my life, to guide my every step, to guide my every step of my journey that God has called me, is there with me 24/7, 365. But I can quench him, meaning that I deny the truth about him, or I allow sin in my life, a thought pattern to develop in my heart and develop in my life, or I can grieve him by continuing to resist what the truth that he's trying to develop into my life. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8:36. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. All I'm trying to do this morning is to help you to become free and allow Holy Spirit to do in you and through you why God placed him in you. So I ask you the question again, as it begs the question, have we fulfilled the church age yet? Has Jesus returned for his bride yet? Then I believe that all of the gifts, those seven and these others, the gift of wisdom, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of giving, the gift of exhortation, the gift of ministering, the gift of showing mercy, the gift of ruling and administration, the gift of faith. And by the way, everybody has faith. Amen? Every saved person has faith, or they didn't get saved. Hello? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To every man is given a measure of faith, according to Romans chapter 8. Why are you given a measure of faith? Now, hear me carefully. I understand Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. Get in the word. Start reading the word. Faith is the eyes of the body of Christ. To be able to see out there. Now, my feet can't see a thing. My big toe can see nothing right now. About the only thing my big toe can do is stink. And the reason it probably is because I have on two pair of socks and I have cushions in my shoes just to stand up here and preach to you this morning and to walk every day of my life, and a pad under the bunion on my right foot. I know you're going to say, if I believed in divine healing, I wouldn't wear glasses and I wouldn't be dealing with everything else. Hello. I've heard all of the arguments, church. This isn't my first rodeo and I didn't fall off the turnip truck yesterday. You have saving faith, you have sanctified faith, and you have stewardship faith. That means that you want to give. Hello, four sermons coming up. Remember, those of you that were here, been here a little while, that is if you let me come back after today. The gift of teaching, the gift of evangelism, and the gift of pastoring. Remember, it is God who sets in the church the gifts. Then why in the world, if God has has set him in the church to bring glory unto himself. Who is smarter than God that would say at the end of the first century, these seven gifts ceased? I want you to take that home and chew on it. And I know what I'm preaching this morning is not traditional Baptistic. I understand that. And I know that it may curl in some of your toenails because it's against traditional thought. But I'm telling you, there's an anointing of the Holy Spirit that God wants to put on every one of you. It's not just for Brother Johnny, or Pastor Johnny, or Leon, or Matt, or Jared, or Janie, or Robin, Naomi. It's not just for the deacons. It's not just for the staff. It's for the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. No. Paul said, if everybody was an eye, can you see an eyeball rolling up in this pulpit to preach to you on Sunday morning? Can you see that? No. Can you see an ear coming up here? Can you see a hand coming up here or a foot coming up here? No. You see, every member of the body has its place. Every member of the body has its purpose. And it is to bring glory to God the Father, to bring honor and praise to Him. God set the gifts in the church, not for the people, for Himself. You know why God saved you? I know you're going to say, because He loved me. No, no, no. He saved you for Himself. He didn't have to. He chose to do that. He didn't save you for yourself. Yes, He loved you, and because He loved you so much, yes, He saved you. But listen to me, He saved you unto Himself. Because, listen to me, one day He's going to hold up the body of Christ as a tapestry, and He's going to declare to the heathen world, look what I have done. Look what I have done. And all praise and all honor and all glory. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's weaving that tapestry right now in every one of your lives. And through every one of your lives. And He's doing it through the spiritual gifts that He's placed within every one of you. Now listen to me. Don't come to Pastor Johnny and say, Pastor, can you tell me what my spiritual gift is? I'm not going to tell you. It's not my place to tell you. Just like it's not my place to tell you that you're saved. It's your parents' place to tell you that you're saved. And I'm not talking about your earthly parents. I'm talking about your spiritual parents. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Remember, no foreign objects. Remember, no foreign objects. Whatever thought, imagination, whatever is in your life that is contrary to the Word of God, get rid of it and get rid of it now, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That means you've got to lay aside every what? Sin and every weight that doth so easily what? Hold you back for the race that God has placed you in, the journey that He's placed you on. Paul said, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived yet, but I do what? Press on towards the mark. Towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It would probably shock some of you all. I love you to pieces. You know that. I love you to pieces. And I had to get up a lot of courage to share this message with you this morning. And I could have skirt-tailed around it. And I could have made you feel comfortable. But God didn't call me to make you feel comfortable. Hello? God called me to tell you the truth. And I've tried to share the truth with you today. Now listen carefully. This is my last point. If God's word is forever settled in heaven, and you believe that, don't you? This way means yes. You believe that, don't you? Then you believe what I just preached. Because you believe, John, you believe not one jot or one tittle of his word has disappeared, don't you? Huh? Come on now. Huh? This way means yes. Then you have to believe, listen to me, you have to believe then, listen to me, that all of the spiritual gifts are still active today. And you have to understand that's why Satan's still trying to counterfeit them. Because if they weren't here, why would he try to counterfeit something that's not here and that is not of God? Hello? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you listening? Are you hearing? See, listen to me. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I believe the word of God. You can't believe I believe it's forever settled in heaven. But oh, no. That went out at the end of the first century. Well, then how do you know salvation didn't go out at the end of the first century? Where are you going to stop dividing the word of God up at? Listen to me. This is the whole counsel of God. You know what Pastor John is called to preach? Get in the New Testament and read it and you'll find out. Do what Jimmy's done and you'll find out. I'm called to preach the whole counsel of God. It hasn't changed. It isn't going to change. And I don't have a right, and no one else does, to take away from it. Because I think, or I've made a decision, that this must have happened at the end of the first century. One of the biggest lies I heard, and I think I've already shared it with you, but I'll share it with you again because we have some guests here that's never heard me say this before, and maybe they need to hear me say it. There are those today that teach and preach that demons aren't present because they disappeared at the end of the first century because Jesus is no longer active and present. My word, what a lie. Straight from the pits of hell. Church. You know what that does to you and I when you believe it? It dearms you. Totally dearms you. Totally takes away the power that God has given you. Bow your heads with me, please.